Evening. I guess I'll be down here tonight. That works out. Couple points. Number one, Rain, I know you said the church gave you whatever you had, but I guess you came and gave it back to me or something. I woke up this morning and I just was, I've had a scratchy throat now. And so, you guys, just bear with me if my voice starts cracking and I start preaching.
Oh.
I can't take it. It's your only one? Well, if you need it, I'll leave it here for a few minutes. Other thought was Drew had a really good demonstration. And I was thinking about just calling audible and preaching a message on be careful what you say, because it can and will be held against you at some point. No, he probably knows how to use that thing better than I do, so I was just messing with him. I like messing with the apprentices. That's what we would usually do with the new guys, and it's kind of fun. Anyways, all right, let's turn on over to Psalm 145. And tonight I'm going to preach basically about whose kingdom are you building? Whose kingdom are you building? Are you building your own kingdom? Are you building the kingdom of the United States? Are you building China's kingdom? Russia? Ukraine? Costa Rica? You know, there's a lot of kingdoms in this world, but whose kingdom are you building? It had better be the Lord's. Let's turn over to Psalm 145, verse 8 through 13. Does anybody, random question, this will tie in. Speaking of props, Drew, I actually planned to bring a prop. I had it sitting on my table at the house, and I walked out without it. Does anybody have a passport on them? Okay, that's what I thought. Oh, wait. Do you mind if I borrow that? I won't pass it out to anybody. That's amazing. That's cool. Well, thank you. People, I won't even open it. All right, I'm going to use this. So, we're going to talk about the kingdom tonight. There's many different ways we could go with this. I just wrote down a few notes and we'll kind of go from there. Let's start in Psalm 145, verses 8 through 13. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity I get to come up here tonight. Thank you so much that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and you are the perfect king over your victorious kingdom. Thank you so much that you have brought us into your kingdom, that we have the opportunity to be sons of light, to be part of the first fruits. And I'm just so appreciative for the many blessings you've given to us. I pray we don't throw away the blessings that we've been given and we view the things appropriately that you've given to us. Thank you so much for the assembly here tonight. Thank you so much for your kingdom spread throughout the world. And it's in your son's name I pray, amen. All right, so again, I'm kind of at a loss with where I want to start. I have a lot of thoughts. But let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 6. In my Sunday school this morning, I had a really good conversation with the kids, and we actually ended up talking about politics a lot, actually. It was really interesting. And we started talking about America, and really how good of a country we have. Now, during the whole COVID thing and the whole 2020, you could see there was a very big push for America, pro-American this, pro-American that. And I think it was a very good thing. I think we learned a lot from 2020. But one of the issues that came up, I think, is that people started to push everything so much one way that they lost all reason. As if Trump were the perfect king over the perfect kingdom. Right? And I'm just here to tell you, Trump is no perfect angel. Few people are going to be surprised. I'm sorry. The thing is that we cannot put our faith into man-made kingdoms. We can't. And throughout all of time, people have done that different ways, different... You know, America is a great nation, though. And I don't think we should neglect that or just dismiss that. Because why is America the best country that's ever been? These guys came together and then they tried to set God as the foundation, right? What is the Constitution really about? It's about pursuit of, well, the unalienable rights, pursuit of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And then you get the Bill of Rights, you get different amendments, and there are certain things that they said, you can't take these away from people. What was the First Amendment? Freedom of speech, right? Freedom of religious, you know, I can go out, and it wasn't just to, you know, so that I can just say whatever I want on social media. If you look at the pilgrims and you know, a lot of people, when they came over, what were they doing? They were suppressed or oppressed by the church that was connected with the state back over in Europe, and they weren't able to preach freely because every time they did, they would get shut out. Now, we are a little bit familiar with that when we look at, let's say, social media, right? How many of y'all experienced, you know, being on Facebook and people got silenced because they would speak out against a certain thing? Well, imagine if you were religiously being persecuted like that, maybe even worse, and wouldn't you want to leave wherever you're being persecuted for your faith to be go somewhere and to preach freely? That's the idea that was really behind what they did. They said, we want religious freedom, the freedom really to preach. And so that's why I get to stand up here, which is actually illegal in many countries. I get to stand up here right now and I get to preach from the Bible. Man, there's a whole side message in that, but make the most of every opportunity. What is the best thing about America? Well, one of the things that everybody, when they see this right here, because, you know, this is a beautiful thing, and when people see this, what do? They say, whoa, you're an American? You know, maybe they don't actually say this, but this might be where they're thinking. Well, you're an American, that means you have money. You have connections. Maybe you have connections to get me out of where I'm at right now. You know, when we were in the Philippines, I remember, there's a lot of interesting things, but I remember sitting, you're kind of like being an American when you go to the Philippines or certain countries like that, you become a celebrity just by being an American. Americanos. And I remember sitting on the plane and the lady in front of me, she was taking a selfie, but she so conveniently got a picture of me in the selfie. It was kind of weird. And, you know, I just remember that. I think Dave Barnett was sitting next to me. And again, why am I saying this? The people that over in other countries, they think very highly of Americans. And you can go just about anywhere and having 100 or 200 or 1,000 US dollars can get you pretty far. You can go anywhere, and if you have this thing, that's automatically going to boost you to some kind of status, right? Now, is our identity really founded in being American, though? No, definitely not. I'm not an American first. I'm a member of God's kingdom first. And you know what? If America falls, and it will, It absolutely will. Anything that is man-made and men get in there and they just corrupt it. I mean, I personally, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in the U.S. government right now. And some, again, I'm surprising people. This is, I'm not trying to go off too far on the political train, but I'm just trying to take things that we can relate to. You know, being American is a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. It's a great thing. And why is that? Well, there's life, liberty. You know, people see that and they see freedom. And a big thing that people see, I heard this recently, a big thing that people look for is opportunity. Just the mere opportunity, the hope of opportunity, man, that's really exciting. Super exciting. Now, the problem is we know how mankind is, and we know that when you do come to America, people are all the same. And it's not really all that it's cracked up to be. Granted, we still have tremendous, tremendous advantages over those other places. But, you know, I actually listened to a podcast recently, and the guy on there, we're going to get back to this, sorry, but, you know, this is some interesting stuff. The guy on this podcast, he said, probably within 10 years, economists say, China could be the new world superpower. That's crazy. Will it happen? I don't know. Could it happen? Yeah, it definitely could. What happens to this 50 years from now if they do become the world superpower? What happens to the U.S. dollar? Well, we already know the U.S. dollar is tanking. What happens to all your advantages, your privileges? English, you know, the dollar versus the, is it the yen? The Chinese currency? Yeah, again, why am I bringing this all up? Because being an American should always come second. We are a part of the kingdom of God first and foremost. And everything that we do pushes us to build up the kingdom. Amen? That has to be the first, that has to be the most important thing in our lives. And we want to preserve a lot of the freedoms and things that we have in America because we know that that can help the gospel. But again, what's the priority? It's the gospel. America has obviously been a tremendous way that the gospel has been able, and wealth, the gospel has been able to spread to the world. God has used this country tremendously, but God ultimately is concerned about his kingdom, of which you are now a part. So we're in Matthew chapter 6. And this is something I appreciate even Super Dave. Super Dave brings this up a ton, and many others have as well. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Well, let's go back to 30 and go through 34. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is the thing that Jesus says we're going to seek first? His kingdom. You know, this Nolan preached a great message this morning. And you know what I think about when I hear that message? He was talking about faith and being resurrected. A lot of it comes down to what's your identity? What's your identity, Christian? Resurrected. What's your identity pertaining to what I'm trying to bring home tonight? You're part of another kingdom. You're not an American first. We are a part of God's kingdom first and foremost. And we even saw, again, I mentioned 2020, we even saw how this played out in a really practical way. The government says, hey, don't meet. You know? If they try to lock these doors and they say, you guys aren't allowed to get together because it's for safety of X, Y, and Z, what are we going to do? Are we going to submit to man's kingdom or God's kingdom? And a lot of people got really fired up and they got really excited and they got all this zeal again. They remember, hey, this is real. Bad things can happen overnight. The whole world can go to a certain place very rapidly, which was very surprising. And so a lot of people who were Christians decided to make some stands. And what I'm trying to do is to keep us on that road. Remember, we got to make those stands. We always have to do that. And when the next COVID scenario comes around, what are we going to do? We're going to stand on the truth. We're going to stand on the gospel. We're going to stand together. And see, you can't really separate the church. You can't separate the kingdom from the church. Well, what is God's kingdom? The church. Look around the room. This is the kingdom of God right here. Peace, joy, righteousness. This is the kingdom right here. You know, when America was founded, freedom always comes at a great price, does it not? Much blood was shed. Freedom is not free. Are each individual in here, in the kingdom around the world, are they worth fighting for? Are they worth laying down your life for? Absolutely. Are they worth laying down your personal interests for? Are they worth stepping aside when you're having a disagreement on something and realizing the bigger picture that we're a part of the kingdom of God? You know, Jesus said in John 15, he said, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Does that mean that I just have to be willing to die, but the majority of my life I just live for myself? Or does that mean that I actually lay down my life for you on a day-to-day basis? Whatever that looks like. The kingdom of God is something that Jesus put a ton of work and effort. This was the joy set before him, and it was that joy that was able to carry him through the cross. How much are we willing to sacrifice for God's kingdom? It makes Matthew 6 make a little more sense when he says, seek first God's kingdom. Seek it first. So I want to actually kind of bring some stuff over from the Old Testament, because I just really think it's good to look at. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Man, are you guys fired up to be a part of the kingdom of God? I mean, I'll say unashamedly, I'm fired up to be an American. This is a great country. This is the best country. It is the best country. Now it's starting to go downhill fast. 2024. I actually was visiting, it's funny you mentioned that, I was actually visiting some of my family in Arizona, and they said, well, we need more Christian men to go into politics, and they were trying to get me to go to politics, and I said, no, I'm not willing to quite go to that extent, but this is a great country, and I don't want to dismiss that, but ultimately, this country is going to fall, and we have to be founded in the country that God has established, His eternal one. Daniel chapter 2, there's a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and you guys are probably pretty familiar with it. Again, the statue. What was the head made of? Gold. And the chest and arms of silver. The trunk, you know, belly, thighs, made of bronze. And then the feet, you know, legs were made of iron. And then the feet is iron and clay, right? So what was that whole statue designed for? Like, what was to be communicated by it? Well, the head was the head of gold, which was the king of Babylon, right? These were these different metals in this statue were to signify different kingdoms. So you have the head, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians. Then you have the Greeks, Romans. And then you get to this point where you see that the feet are kind of in a state of unstable. They're no stability. So the feet are made of iron and clay. Now, at this point, let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, silver, and gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, if you look in verse 34, it actually says that the stone was cut without hands. Now, what kind of kingdom are we talking about that would be made without human hands? It's a spiritual one, right? It fills the whole earth. Does the kingdom of God not expand across the whole earth today? You can't really quantify it in one physical location. The kingdom of God here is actually going to be the church. It's spread throughout his church abroad, scattered throughout the world. Let's go to Isaiah chapter... let's actually read Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. Because we're going to see a little bit more about this kingdom. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Remember the stone that filled the whole earth, which became a mountain. God will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw a stone cut out of a mountain without hands, and it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king that will take place in the future, so the dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. This kingdom, what does it say? It will never be destroyed. Does that sound like a kingdom you'd like to join or be a part of? Yeah. Remember I said America, it's going to go down. It will be destroyed. God's kingdom will never be destroyed. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. And I absolutely love this verse. I brought it up several times. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's go to verses 2 through 4. Remember, we're thinking about a kingdom. Now it will come about in the last days. Isaiah 2, 2. In the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and from then the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Well, it sounds like a pretty nice kingdom, right? This kingdom is coming about, and, there's peace. People aren't fighting. There's not war. There's no war. Interesting. Now, what is the law coming from, though? The law will go forth from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Sounds like a pretty significant thing. Mount Zion is a mountain near Jerusalem. Now remember, going back to our Daniel verse, what was referred to as a stone? It became a what? A mountain. Seems like that would be an important thing to remember. Let's actually go to Hebrews chapter 12. There's so many different thoughts I could throw out on this. Guys, this is really, really important stuff. It's important to understand, again, kind of going back to Nolan's message this morning, it's important to know you've been resurrected. It's important to know you've been brought into the kingdom of God. And it's important to know the kingdom is today. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to be fighting this, and they're going to be telling you, hey, the kingdom is still to come in the future. You know, Jesus is going to set up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem for 1,000 years or whatever it might be. Is Jesus king right now? Is he reigning today on the throne? Yeah, he absolutely is. And we are part of that wonderful kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12, Let's, for sake of time, let's just jump down to verse 22. Many of you are familiar with this because Kevin, and I appreciate him driving this home, but again, when you understand the significance of these verses in the New Testament and how they totally change our perspective of the old, it is worth reiterating, bringing up time and time again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you, Christian, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Where have you been brought to? And this isn't you are going to go to, this is you have come to Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. You can look at Galatians and it talks about heaven, Jerusalem above, she is our mother. Well, remember what we were talking about in Isaiah. The word is going to go forth from which two places? Zion, Jerusalem. Sounds like this is a spiritual kingdom. Let's turn on over to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13 through 14. For God rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to what? The kingdom of His beloved Son. Is that future or past tense transferred? It's past tense. God has already done it. We're already in the kingdom of God. Now, do you think about that on a daily, every day? Just contemplate that and think about God has lifted me up. Christ is, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Man, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Now it makes a lot more sense when you look at Philippians 3 and he talks about our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven, first and foremost. You know, this passport, as beautiful as it is, doesn't really mean anything in the long run. Because when you pass on, are you going to take all your American benefits with you? No. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the most important thing that we are a part of, the most important nation that we are a part of, and really it's the body of Christ. The last part I actually want to just talk about, so I don't keep you guys here too long. Although I know people have been getting trained at, you know, getting out of here at like 8, 10, 10 minutes after, 15 after, just depends. Is that what happens when somebody goes from one country and they become a citizen of another, though? Yeah, they renounce their citizenship previously. I mean, I guess there's dual citizens and stuff, but what ends up happening is it's kind of understood that when you go to become a citizen of another country, there's this word called assimilate. Now, again, I could talk about some more political things, and this would not be PC, not politically correct. I think one of the issues with America is that we didn't force people to assimilate as much as we should have. You know, there are places even in Texas that I would go to, and it would be basically Mexico. I mean, the streets would be in Spanish. The markets would all be in Spanish. Everything would be in Spanish. I love Spanish. I love the language. And if we just, you know, went down to Mexico or a Spanish-speaking country for a little while, I wouldn't be too upset about that. But that's a whole other conversation. Anyways, even when we were in Arizona, they had these signs that said kilometers. They didn't even have miles. So you'd drive around everywhere and you'd be like, I don't know what's going on. You got to understand how many kilometers are there, you know, what's the ratio to mile. One of the biggest issues that can happen within a nation is when everybody's not on the same page. And a big one, I would assume if I go to another country, I want to learn their culture. If I really want to be a citizen of that country, not just go visit. Maybe I want to learn their language. Again, you can see why this could very quickly turn to not PC. If I moved to France, I probably would want to learn how to be a French person and learn the language of French. Now, how does this apply spiritually? God transfers us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Are we to just take our cultures and our bad habits from our previous cultures into the kingdom? It's called assimilation. And what that looks like, I guess you'd have to answer for yourself, but really, this is the guide. This is the passport. This is, as Drew brought up, this is something that can fulfill every need that we could ever have. This is really the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Where do you find Jesus? Right here. So, by way of closing, brothers and sisters, basically I just want to encourage you. Keep seeking the kingdom first. Keep putting the kingdom of God first. And how that practically plays out, it's going to play out with the people in this room right here. Let's actually close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the messages that can be found within the Word of God and the things that we get to observe in our physical lives that we get to appreciate them more in the spiritual realm. As a father loves his son, God, you are the ultimate perfect father, and you love us. And as marriage, we see it in the world, it's broken, but thank you so much that you show us the perfect marriage. And God, there are many nations that rise and fall, and many kings that are corrupt and have misused their powers, but Jesus is the perfect king. And he's one that is worth listening to and to submitting to his will every day. And I just pray so much that this congregation can really buy into that, and they have been. And I just pray we can keep encouraging one another each day as we see that day approaching. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You guys are dismissed.